This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Abigail Lorenzen, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Abigail Lorenzen.
And I'm Scott Kump. I Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
This program is sponsored in part by Rock Hill Design, serving nonprofits and entrepreneurs with personal branding, print design, and web creation. Learn more at rockhilldesign.com. Our guest today is Mark Harrington. Mark is founder and executive director of Created Equal, a pro-life education and outreach organization based in Columbus, Ohio. Pro-life activists across Indiana and the country have partnered with Created Equal many times, and we're grateful for that. Welcome, Mark. We're so glad you took time out of your day to join us.
It's great to be here.
Well, let's talk a few minutes about the mission of Created Equal. For those who may not be familiar with your work, just tell us what you're up to.
Our organization is a training organization. We believe that young people learn best by being, you know, put on the ground in front of people that disagree with them. So what we do is we provide training, that is some classroom training, but we take students out into the culture, and that generally is on college and high school campuses, and just train them to take on the culture of death and have a winsome argument against abortion. So that's our goal. We're a discipleship ministry training young people in apologetics.
If people want more information about Created Equal, Mark, I'm sure you have a website.
Yeah, that's the best way, of course, is createdequal.org. That's createdequal.org.
Well, Mark, here on I Choose Life News and Views, we've been following closely the impact of the videos exposing the abortion industry that were released by the Center for Medical Progress. I'm sure you're very familiar with those videos and all of the atrocities that are exposed. One of the most appalling moments to me was the footage taken at the National Abortion Federation Conference showing the comments of a woman who owns a chain of abortion clinics in Michigan addressing her audience about her frustrations trying to dispose of, I think she said, 5 months of backlogged fetal remains. And for those of us who value life, fetal remains are actually the broken little bodies of boys and girls who've been abortion victims. I know, Mark, that Created Equal identified this as a vulnerability for the abortion industry, and we're so grateful that you did. You launched an investigation into this gruesome business. Tell us where you started and a little bit about what your activities were to bring this to the attention of everybody and also to push this in the courts.
Well, as you mentioned, the videos by the National Abortion Federation were actually under court order. They were under wraps. They got leaked by someone. We think it's someone in Congress who had subpoenaed those videos as part of the investigation of Planned Parenthood body parts scandal. The videos were leaked, and Renee Chilean, who's the abortion owner of the chain of abortion clinics in Michigan, in her discussion about fetal remains said that they were one incinerator company away from being shut down.
That's
huge. She was referring to the abortion industry being one incinerator company away from being shut down. And when I heard those words, I thought to myself, you know, she's giving us a pathway to victory here without knowing it. She's thinking that she's speaking to only friendlies in the building. But of course, David DeLeiden was videotaping those, that conference, and that was leaked to the media. Along with that, at the same time, our Attorney General, Mike DeWine in Ohio, published a report on Planned Parenthood's involvement with the body parts scandal. And in that, he did not find that Planned Parenthood was involved in the sale of body parts in Ohio, but he did find that Stericycle, the largest medical waste hauler in America, was taking aborted fetal remains, little baby girls and little baby boys, and dumping them in a landfill in Kentucky.
Wow.
So when I saw those two things, I put them together and I said, well, there we go. We've got the verifiable evidence from the Attorney General, very credible, that Stericycle is disposing of human remains and Renee Chilian, a noted abortion clinic owner, saying that they're one incinerator company away from being shut down. And that's when we launched Project Weak Link.
And Stericycle was the focus, obviously, because they, as you pointed out, they're the largest contractor for the abortion industry to dispose of these little babies' bodies. So what happened next?
Well, we began Project Weak Link, which is different than a lot of other attempts to get companies from refusing to enable the abortion industry. We played hardball. What we did is we went into the community of the CEO and the board of directors of Stericycle, which is in Lake Forest, Illinois, and we flyered the neighborhood of the CEO, implicating him in the body part scandal of Planned Parenthood because Stericycle is involved in disposing of the aborted fetal remains. The moment we did that, I got a phone call from their attorney saying they were going to sue us, which led to about a six-month court case that we finally won thanks to the Thomas More Society out of Chicago. And in that court case, in those pleadings, Stericycle started to disclose that they had begun to enforce their medical waste protocol that refused to accept aborted fetal remains. And then after a while, I wrote a letter back to the CEO saying, okay, this is good news. What evidence do you have to give us that you are now refusing to service the abortion industry for fetal remains disposal? And he provided supplemental assurances, which are basically a second level of protections for Stericycle from the abortion clinics that they might service, saying that they have refused to provide Stericycle with the aborted fetal remains and they found some other way to dispose of them. So basically what we found out over this year and a half or so is that Stericycle, due to the Attorney General of Ohio's disclosure, due to the pressure that we brought to them, had ceased contracts with 400 abortion companies in America,
wow,
including dozens of Planned Parenthood facilities.
That is absolutely amazing, Mark. Isn't it interesting that out of a lawsuit brought by the opposition, you were able to, through the proceedings, learn so much more than we knew originally. Did you win this case on freedom of speech grounds?
Yes. They tried to sue us for false light, defamation, and intentional infliction of emotional distress against the CEO. And we won based on First Amendment grounds. But in that, they were forced to disclose their dealings with Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, which gave us more evidence. And then a letter written by Stericycle CEO to me in June of this year basically reiterated that Stericycle had dropped 400 abortion companies around the country.
It's always an encouragement to me to see how things fit together and outcomes come about that we maybe never anticipated when we started, but just taking the right first step often leads to so much more than we could have ever imagined. You know what you were talking about in Ohio reminds me of a similar situation here in Indiana when Indiana Right to Life learned from a previous Planned Parenthood employee that in Indianapolis, the bodies of the babies that were abortion victims were being dumped in the sewer in Marion County. About that same time, we also found out that the bodies of babies aborted at Planned Parenthood in St. Louis were being shipped to a medical waste treatment plant in Indianapolis for disposal, and further investigation showed that to be illegal based on the permission letter that was granted to this medical waste company. They were explicitly excluded from accepting fetal remains. So that resulted in a fine and, of course, outrage by all of us about how these little babies' bodies were being disposed of. And here in Indiana, and I think this is going on now in Ohio, but after that came to light, legislation was passed to require the respectful disposition of these babies, either through cremation or burial, as you would respectfully treat any deceased human body. However, predictably, that was immediately challenged in court by Planned Parenthood and the Indiana ACLU. The case is still in the court system, and the law was enjoined by a pro abortion sympathetic judge. So we're still waiting for the outcome of that court case. But do you have any idea what the situation is in other states? Would Ohio and Indiana be the only ones that are looking at this, or is this something that's spreading across the country?
It's happening all over. In fact, if you go to our website at projectweeklink.com, we have an entire page devoted to legislation dealing with the humane disposal of fetal remains. And what it does is, as far as we can consolidate the information, discloses all the states that have laws on the books that deal with this issue or are looking into that or have already, you know, introduced bills dealing with that. Ohio is one of those, by the way. We have two bills, one in the Senate, one in the House. It looks just like the one that you passed in Indiana. We're hoping to get it done this time, this next General Assembly, get it signed by our governor and put into law here. Kathy, here's the beauty of all of this, and who would have known how this was going to come together. But because of the actions of David DeLayden and the videos that were released, the pressure was put on the Planned Parenthood as to what they were doing with the fetal remains. And of course, we know that they were selling them.
Mm-hmm.
That disclosed medical waste companies. It exposed them, and state legislatures started to deal with the issue of humane disposal. Here's the deal. If abortion clinics can't dispose of the babies, then they won't be able to kill them.
Exactly.
They're going to try to find ways, like Renee Chilean was in Michigan, which she was, you know, thinking about having a bonfire. She paid an employee to pour the babies down a sink, a disposal. She had 5 weeks of aborted babies in her freezer. I mean, these are the kinds of things that are going to be foisted onto the abortion industry, because they simply will not be able to comply with the law. They won't want to. And medical waste companies will say, we don't want anything to do with you people. You're bad news. You're bad business. And it's wrong to be involved with you. So this is the classic military move called a pincer move, where you're actually attacking the enemy from both flanks. And I think this can be very successful legislatively, and then with the activist angle, which is bringing pressure and public awareness against these medical waste companies, we can pinch off the abortion industry.
Mm-hmm. And I would add to that enforcement, which is one of the ways that we were able to compel this legislation, and also to compel the inspectors that go in and from the Indiana State Department of Health to verify that compliance with the law. This is Kathy Humbarger. You're listening to I Choose Life News and Views. Our guest today is Mark Harrington. Mark is founder and executive director of Created Equal, and you can find out more about Created Equal at their website, createdequal.org, createdequal.org. Mark, several of us have seen Stericycle trucks at abortion businesses in the past here in Indiana, but we haven't lately. I just last week called around to several of our folks to make certain that Stericycle was not servicing, if you want to call it that, the abortion industry here in Indiana. Are you confident that Stericycle has, in fact, ended their contracts with 400 companies?
I am confident of that. Fact is, we're getting reports from all over the country in the last year that Stericycle is no longer showing up. And because now that they're enforcing this medical waste protocol, which either by intent or neglect, they did not strictly enforce and were then basically involved in the disposal of fetal remains, whether it was by intention or just simple neglect that they weren't enforcing these, the protocol, it doesn't matter. They were disposing of these aborted fetal remains. But they are doing as much as it is at all possible to make sure that they're no longer involved. Now, that does not mean that they will not be picking up or cannot pick up any other medical waste. In fact, we have reports from other parts of the country that Stericycle trucks are still showing up. And I'm trying to tell our activists, our sidewalk counselors and others around the country, to keep an eye on them, but also look for another medical waste company that's doing the fetal remains disposal. If there's another company, then we know that Stericycle is keeping their word. If there's not another company that we can verify, then it may be that, again, Stericycle is going to simply look the other way and accept these fetal remains, and we're back in the same place we were. As I've told others, this is like Ronald Reagan in dealing with the Russians. We need to trust, but verify. Trust Stericycle, which, keep in mind, this is a multi-billion dollar global company that has been forced to disclose its relationship with the abortion industry and put these restrictions into place. We need to trust that they're telling us the truth, but we need to verify that means. And that means as long as they are picking up any medical waste, whether it be fetal remains or other types of medical waste, they are still an enabler of the abortion industry. And so we are going to continue to exert pressure upon them to drop the abortion industry altogether.
Mark, I want to take just a minute here to thank those who may be listening, who are faithfully in front of the abortion businesses, not only in Indiana, but across this country. They're the eyes and ears of what we do to hold these abortion businesses accountable for their gruesome work. Would you just reiterate the importance of taking pictures, videos, and that kind of thing, and then reporting, sending those on to one of us so that we can be about following up?
Well, I can tell you this. We would not have been successful in pressuring Stericycle if we did not have the videos that were made available by folks who go to the abortion mills routinely. We have an entire page on our projectweeklink.com website that deals with the evidence, and it's just dozens of videos of Stericycle trucks picking up fetal remains. If we didn't have those, again, that would have been something that would have been very hard to verify that they were actually doing it, because it'd just be our word against theirs. We live in an age now, if they don't capture on film, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And sidewalk counselors and folks who go to abortion clinics routinely should be prepared to videotape whatever happens there, just for security reasons
alone. Right.
But especially in just capturing the goings on, what happens at an abortion facility, because if they're in the business of killing babies, they're probably in the business of doing other things that are not right and illegal. As Father Frank Pavone has famously said, you cannot conduct vice virtuously.
Right.
There's just no way to do it. So they're going to be involved in other illegal activities. If we capture those on film and we make them available on the internet.
With Stericycle leaving the disposal market, is your work done?
No, it's far from done. They're the biggest one on the block, and that's why we went after them. But now a shot has been sent over the bow, so to speak, and other medical waste companies who might have been watching this should be concerned that they will be exposed as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to launch a national campaign against all of the regional and local medical waste companies, so that we can go one by one by one and eliminate them as an enabler of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. We have dozens already to begin with, but we're basically going to make a national call for people to continue to send video and other information about their local situation, and we will do what we did with Stericycle, and they'll be watching. I mean, frankly, if you're a company that's a smaller medical waste company, this is the last thing you need is a lot of bad publicity, which gets to the bottom line of your ability to make a profit. And public relations is number one if you've got a company and you don't want bad PR. So if they don't give it up because they think it's immoral, we'll force them to give it up because it's unprofitable.
Indeed. Mark, before we run completely out of time, would you take a few minutes to help us understand how to respond to the criticism from some pro-life activists that say taking on this issue is not effectively ending abortion because the babies are already dead? I know there are some who are critical of anything other than making abortion illegal immediately.
Well, I think you would agree with me. I share their concern.
Certainly.
I want this to end today. But I realize that given the cards that we've been dealt, that's unlikely. So we've got to do what we're able to do, and that is chip away at abortion. It's the only way to do it. You know, I'm not 100% satisfied that Stericycle is, you know, now that they've ceased the acceptance of fetal remains, but yet they're still enabling the abortion industry. It's not a total win, but when was it that somebody just gave up everything all at once? It generally doesn't happen that way.
If
with individuals, with companies, with a country, there are increments.
Any social issue that we've seen in the past, I think you're exactly right.
It has to be rolled back. I mean, we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get back to where we were, you know, 60 years ago overnight. We just need to be faithful and use the tools that God's given us to slowly but surely end abortion. And I'm for the whole package. I'm willing to support total bans on abortion, but I'm also interested in trying to eliminate it slowly but surely with the goal in mind of ending it altogether. And that's the only way we can approach it.
Well, our friend Troy Newman was a guest on this program a number of months ago, and he said something to me that at first I thought sounded shocking. He said, "I don't really care if Roe versus Wade is ever overturned, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion." He said that if we can make abortion unthinkable and there's no market for it, we've won. So the good work that you're doing with your team at Created Equal is certainly a huge contributing factor to making abortion unthinkable. Mark, would you give those two websites one more time so that folks can jot that down and keep track of what you're doing and join the fight?
Well, especially for parents that are interested in teaching their young people to defend the pro-life position, we go on what we call justice rides. And we do that twice a year. We'll be going in the winter to Florida to several college campuses down there. And if you're interested in that, you go to createdequal.org, createdequal.org. And for those who are interested in Project Weak Link, that is the severing of the ties of those who enable abortion, you can go to projectweaklink.com. That's projectweaklink.com.
Thank you so much for being our guest today, Mark Harrington, founder and executive director of Created Equal. We thank you for the work that you do. Stay in the fight, and we'll have you back soon for an update. God bless you as you continue to expose the evil that goes on behind the doors of the abortion businesses across the country.
Well, thank you for your work as well, Kathy. God bless.
This is Kathy Humbarger back with you again. We're so glad that we have a few minutes at the end of today's program to talk to a very special friend. Ryan McCann is the Director of Operations and Public Policy for the Indiana Family Institute. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kathy. It's my pleasure to join you.
Some of the people listening to us, though, may not know exactly what Indiana Family Institute is all about. Could you take just a couple minutes to share what the mission is and a little bit about why you exist?
Well, the Indiana Family Institute is one of 41 like groups in different states all across the country. And we are the local partners of groups like Focus on the Family, Family Policy Alliance, Alliance Defending Freedom, and the Family Research Council. So a lot of good conservative Christian groups from around the country, and we are the state group here in Indiana. We focus on religious liberty, life, marriage, and family issues. And so it's exciting to partner with Indiana Right to Life and the local affiliates around the state, and we've been able to partner so well over the years to do so much for life and help women and babies to have a safer future.
I've certainly been the beneficiary of that close relationship, Ryan. I understand that Indiana Families Institute has a really exciting event coming up very shortly.
Yes, we have a fun conference. It's a first of its kind here in Indiana. It's called ICON. That stands for Indiana Conservatives, I-C-O-N, ICON. And it'll be at the Sheridan at the Keystone of the Crossing area, just the north side of Indianapolis, a nice area. And we'll be having conservative speakers from across the state and country to come in. And it's just an opportunity for conservatives in the state to come together, to strategize together, to get to know each other better and hear some great speakers in a day-long event. It's coming up Saturday, August 26th, and it'll be an all-day event from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we're just going to have wall-to-wall conservative speakers. Jim Banks, the congressman from the Fort Wayne area, who Kathy is very familiar with, is a champion of the conservative movement, and he's going to be speaking with us. Curtis Hill, our state's attorney general, and also a little bit of trivia, Curtis Hill in this last election got more votes than any candidate ever in Indiana history.
That's amazing.
And, a great conservative, and then other stalwarts like Jim Bopp and Peter Heck, and just a number of really neat conservative speakers that'll be filling out the day.
Well, Ryan, I plan to be there, and I hope we see a lot of our listeners attending on that Saturday as well. I know that tickets are going fast as the day approaches. Are there still tickets available?
There are. The Sheraton there at Keystone of the Crossing is a large facility, and we can handle a big crowd. So we would love for more folks to join us. They can go to iconconference.us, iconconference.us, and sign up for tickets. And we would love to have as many as possible of our conservative friends across the country to go on and sign up for tickets and join us.
Well, we're so grateful that you have made a special offer to our listening audience as far as purchasing tickets. Tell us a little bit about the offer that you made to our listeners, and we hope that everybody will take advantage of this great opportunity.
That's correct. We are very pleased to offer a buy one, get one free ticket to the listeners in this audience. And so if you would go to that website, iconconference.us, iconconference.us, and purchase tickets in the promotional code area, if you would type in radio, then you can get a free ticket, a buy one, get one free offer. And so we want to do that for you and your listeners. And we hope to have an even bigger turnout and just have a great day on August 26th.
We're looking forward to it, Ryan. Thank you so much for pulling this conference together. And a special thank you for making this special offer to our listening audience. Again, the date is
Saturday, August 26th. It's from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., so a full day worth of activities, and you can sign up at iconconference.us. I'd like to also just mention a few of our sponsors and partners. This isn't really an Indiana Family Institute event. We're promoting and sponsoring and helping with it, but really it's a whole group of individuals and groups that have come together, Indiana Rights to Life, Bot Radio, Americans for Prosperity, the Heritage Foundation, and Heritage Action. Will not only be sponsoring, but we're having speakers there. And we'll have a speaker from AIPAC as well to talk about kind of foreign policy issues as it relates to Israel. Well, so it should be a very well-rounded day, and I think your listeners will enjoy it.
I plan to be there and hope to see lots of my conservative friends there, and especially the pro-life community. So please visit Icon, I-C-O-N, conference.us, iconconference.us. Don't forget to type in radio in the special discount box, and you will get a free ticket for buying one at the price of $40. Thank you so much for being with us today, Ryan, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 26th.
Thank you, Kathy. We'll see you there.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.